her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool.
A lot of people love Tet McMillan on the Carbless Talking text line. This is more 800-990-3776. But I think everybody kind of realizes that he might be the best wide receiver in the class and therefore not really available to the Packers at 23. Like Justin says, if McMillan falls, could they trade up a few spots? Probably not. I can't imagine Goody giving up more based on the way he's talked. Like we discussed this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. Like Chewy's thought of him potentially trading back. I think him trading back is more likely than him trading up at this point.
I agree.
But we do have some Matt LaFleur sound. And he spoke the other day at the owners' meetings down in Florida. And as Chewy mentioned earlier with Jason, you know, not everybody's necessarily a straight shooter. So you need to, you know, you've got to put these through the translator. And who better than a guy who played in the NFL for nearly a decade, went to three Pro Bowls, is a Super Bowl champion, to help us decipher what exactly was said by Matt LaFleur. We begin with him talking about the running game in Florida.
We're excited about Banks coming in and then moving out and back to center. And so we feel like we have a lot of pieces. There's going to be some good competition at a lot of spots. But you got to recreate it each and every year. And the only way you do that is you get to work. And we got to just that continuity of getting the starting five out there. And it's not just those guys. It's the tight ends. It's our wide receivers, and I think our wideouts do as good as anybody in the run game in terms of blocking.
When you hear Matt LaFleur talk about the run game, what do you hear, Chew?
He should have stopped after Elgton Jenkins or Jacob. He didn't need to go. A, there's no there's one position that's going to be competitive, and that's left tackle, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't see any competition for...
It's left tackle or right guard.
Yes.
Like, if Jordan Morgan comes back.
You got three guys with two spots.
Yes.
Right. So that's it. Yeah, he really didn't need to keep going with that. He's probably just trying to burn time there, right? Because the other stuff is just.
Just kind of filler.
Yeah. You agree?
Yeah. And look, they need another offensive lineman. Matt LaFleur, while down in Florida, also talked about the newest member of the wide receiver room. Super Bowl champion Mecole Hardman. Here's LaFleur on Hardman.
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran player he's played a lot of ball. I know he hasn't had a ton of production as a receiver in the last couple of years, but he is a speed element, a guy that, you know, just going against him over the years and then studying him when he came out of college, that we had a lot of interest in. So I'm excited for him, just to get him ingrained in our system and see what he can bring. But certainly as a returner, I would expect some there.
Chewy translator says?
Fluff. We didn't want him. It's Sammy Watkins 2.0 and Goody, can you get me a damn number one? That's pretty much is what he's saying.
I mean, in fairness to Hardman, at least he's going to, at least presumably, potentially, contribute to special teams.
Yeah, he'll be their returner because they don't want to play Keyshawn back there.
Yeah, so Keyshawn
that's
or,
just, I mean, just
or
fluff.
Jayden Reed at wide receiver, or excuse me, at punt returner.
Yeah.
Okay.
He won't get... I mean, how many snaps is he going to get offensively? He's not going to get a lot. He just said his production.
Five a game.
Yeah, his production is meh, you know.
LaFleur continued to talk about the wide receivers because you mentioned no going and getting a number one wide out. So improving the passing game apparently going to be a focus for the Packers this season.
I mean, yeah, that's something that we took a deep dive at. I think that was a big part of it, to be honest with you. It's just we had a ton of drops, and that's an area that we have to clean up. And, I mean, it takes all 11, right? We talk about it all the time. There were times where we had situations where we just didn't take advantage of it, and maybe it's just one guy missing a block or a lot of things happen. There's a lot of variables, and it's definitely a long-winded answer, but I think that we've got a pretty good plan going into next season.
Fluff. What he really wanted to say, look, those guys were disappointing last year. We thought they would take a step. They really didn't. They just kind of were plateaued and were the same. And if we're going to be good this year, then the receiving core has to be a big part of it. You know? I mean, he did mention the drops, but it's got to get open.
Can Jaden Reed be a one?
No.
He can't be, right?
No.
Because even, and we talked a little bit about
what was he?
Jason.
What was he a pick, Jacob? Third?
He was a second-round pick.
He's a second-round pick?
Yep. Second-round pick.
I just don't know how you recover when the consensus is he's not very good against man. You know?
I also don't know how to feel about LaFleur talking about, and it wasn't in that clip, but he talked about how, well, he kind of got dinged up, and that's maybe why he wasn't as productive in the second half of the season. Because, again, his first half of the season was really good. Like, he had some really explosive games.
But he was, like I said, he was schemed open. He was schemed open. You can't scheme open for an entire season because there's not enough schemes, you know?
Yeah.
And that's clearly what happened, and that's when the criticism of it, the guy can't get open versus man, came out. Now, do I think he's a good player? He's a number three. He's a number three, and he fits in with the guy I said they wanted to draft, Abuka.
Yeah, sure.
With Watson, too, and then Jaden Reed is your three, and then say bye-bye to Romeo Doubs. That right there is a good offense. He hasn't shown me enough to be a one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's early. Is he going into his third year?
Going into his third year.
This is a huge year for him.
Could he be as good as Randall Cobb?
Yeah, I think he could be.
I mean, Randall had a couple of big years. Had the one year where he was the Packers passing game. It was Devontae Adams' rookie year in 2014, where he was a Pro Bowler. I think he might have even had over 1,200 yards receiving. And you had Jordy and him, and those two were really good together.
A 2/3,
sure.
A back end 2, definitely a 3. But a 1, and that's right
again,
now,
like,
that's kind of
part of the reason why, you know, Randall Cobb had such a good year is because he was playing off of Jordy Nelson.
Was Randall ever a 1?
When Jordy got hurt, kind of, but not really.
So he was always a 2.
Yeah.
And he's a good 2.
Oh, yeah,
he's
exactly.
A hell of a 2.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. He went to a Pro Bowl as a 2.
Yeah.
He didn't go to multiple Pro Bowls, but still went to 1, was really productive, had a really good career.
Yeah.
Made a lot of money.
I'm not a big fan of guys being all the same.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Having you know? Different skill sets is
skill
going to put
set.
Pressure
Correct.
On defenses.
Yes.
Certainly. And then finally, he talked about this. Can the tight end be your wide receiver 1?
Could a tight end be a number 1 receiver in your offense?
I think anything is possible. I would never limit it to just being a wide receiver.
As good as Tucker was, do you want to get him?
Yeah, you know, the challenging thing, I think, just when you look at us, and especially in the pass game, there are a lot of times where Tuck is in there in a chip position, chipping, then releasing to the flat. And in a perfect world, you'd love to get 5 out on every play. I just think that dependent upon who you're playing, some of these edge rushers in this league, and it's not only edge rushers, obviously you saw when we played Philly, the interior D linemen were pretty spectacular that they had. And bottom line is, in order to throw the football, you got to be able to hold up in protection. Our quarterback has to, you know, we always talk about reading with your feet and getting the ball out and the rhythm and the timing of the play. So, again, a lot of variables to it.
I hear that too, and I hear can the tight end be wide receiver 1? I hear all of that. And ultimately, I hear, well, we want to get Tucker Kraft the ball more, but he can't be our top target.
Well, he contradicted himself. He contradicted himself because he said, yeah, and then he explains all the reason why he can't be.
Yes.
Am I right?
Correct.
And you don't want him to be.
Yeah.
You don't want him to be because he's valuable as a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In order for him to be a 1, I don't know how much he weighs, but he'd probably have to lose 10 pounds, slim down, become a little faster, play him detached from the line as more as a Kelsey type, you know?
He is 258.
For the life of me, why is there anything wrong with coming out and saying no? Can he be a number? Can your tight end? No. No, he can't. And this is why.
Yeah, because that's what I hear. I hear at the end going,
sure.
All those things. Hey, we have to protect. And sometimes he's got a chip. There's a lot of really good pass rushers in this league. So I hear all of that and like, oh, no. I mean, clearly they want to get him involved more, and they want to use him more, and I understand that. But he can't be the one who's getting 100 receptions in a year.
But this is the stuff that just drives me nuts. Because he would have been perfectly fine saying, no, he can't. He can't. He's too valuable of a blocker. And with the DNs in this league, he's got a chip. We're going to get him more involved. Yes. Can he be number two? Sure. Yes, he can be. But number one, no.
Doesn't seem like the offense can run through him. Just basically what it seems, based on that clip, and I'm glad the Chewy translator agrees with me, that it just doesn't seem like that is a possibility for the Packers. You remember the moments from that magical March in 2015, Frank Kaminsky leading the charge for Bo Ryan in Wisconsin in a run to a championship game. Relive it all with Make 'Em Believe. It's June 26th, and you can join Frank, Sam Decker, and Coach Bo Ryan for an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison to celebrate the 10-year anniversary. Hard to believe that was 10 years ago. Tickets on sale now at uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com. Make 'Em Believe, June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. It's presented by Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Potosi Varsity Ale, Potosi Hard Seltzer, and M3 Insurance.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Care, you can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is your with hand you two today? Numb. Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Let me tell you about a few of the fresh, all-natural specials this week with my guys at Bunzels. You know how much I love Bunzels, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee. It's the only place I go. And this week, coming up next week, I should say, is my week for groceries. And looking at these, yeah, I'm going to have to stop by. Because right now, USDA Choice Angus Tri-Tip Beef Roasts, $14.49 a pound. Trim whole pork tenderloins are $6.99 a pound at Bunzels. And the honey mustard cheddar brats are $6.89 a pound. Those are, without a doubt, the best brats in Milwaukee. But I will just pick some up and make some, even if it's not warm outside. But it is warm. It's time to tailgate. You want those honey mustard cheddar brats, $6.89 a pound at Bunzels. Don't forget about dessert with Bunzels' famous peanut butter cookies, just $8.99 a dozen. Make plans and stop by Bunzels, 90th and Burleigh. You're not going to regret it. Find all the weekly specials and the monthly meat deal. Don't forget about that. It's all at Bunzels.com. Time to hit the top 8 and 8.
The top 8 and 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 and 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 and 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 and 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So this is a little bit of a different list. It's still sports related, but it's going to take me a second to explain. So Joshy and Chew, you guys are going to guess back and forth as I have 8 things on a list. Once you get one incorrect, we open up to the fans at 800-990-3776 on that Cardboard Talking text line. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. So before every season, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, ESPN puts out a list of top 100 players in those sports. Between the three professional teams we have, the Bucks, Packers, and Brewers, there are 8 names that are still with their respective team that they're on. So name the guys who are on the top 100 list in their respective sport of the three professional teams that we have in Wisconsin.
Okay, good list. Let me start it, Yashi.
And again, I will say the one hint I will give is this was before the season. So if you're thinking NFL, think okay. Not necessarily what happened at the end. It was going into the season.
Okay. I'll start it out with Giannis.
So Giannis was number 3 on the NBA list overall, so clearly he is in the top 100.
Jackson Churio.
He's number 28 on the baseball list that just came out yesterday.
This is based upon last year, you said, came out.
So it's coming into the season, yes.
Ha. I'd say Yelly.
Christian Yelich, number 90 on the list okay. in baseball because he, again, coming into yeah. this season, he was an all-star before the injury a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let's knock out baseball and go Contreras.
So one of the best catchers in baseball, William Contreras, was number 63. So the Brewers have three on the top 100 list.
Hold on. This is before the start of this season or last season? Like for the Packers, it'd
so
be...
So it was going into 2024. Okay,
Jair.
So Jair was number 98.
Yeah.
Dame.
Number 23 on the NBA list. You guys just have two more. It's been impressive.
Bucks are done. Brewers are close. I guess Elton?
Elton Jenkins was not on the list.
This one feels like it's staring us in the face. Jordan Love.
Jordan Love was number 56 in the NFL.
What will he be this year?
Lower than that.
Yeah.
Will he be in the top 100?
Probably. I mean, they were a playoff team. He was a quarterback on that team. Okay. Probably. My guess is he falls to mid-70s.
So okay. There's one more player on this list.
Yep.
I would imagine it's a Packer. And I've got three names in mind. One, Rashawn Gary. Two, Xavier McKinney. Three, Josh Jacobs. Does Josh Jacobs get that respect? Is it Rashawn Gary still held highly?
He did make the Pro Bowl with four sacks.
I'm just going to say Rashawn Gary.
It's incorrect.
Oh!
800-990-3776. Again, a little bit explanation behind this list, but before the season, ESPN.com always releases a top 100 in the respective sport. So between the Packers, Brewers, and Bucks, they had eight players land on their top 100 lists. Name those players. So we know for the Brewers, Jackson Churio, William Contreras, Christian Yelich. For the Bucks, Giannis, Dame. Right now for the Packers, Jair Alexander, Jordan Love. Who is the last player who made the top 100 list? Who have you guys missed? Again, great job by Chewy and Joshy. Getting seven of the eight. We just need one name from a fan. 800-990-3776 is how you get in on that Carbless talk and text line.
Oh, my computer's frozen, but I know this first caller is Chef Ed.
All right, Chef Ed, can you close out today's top eight at eight?
Well, I hope so. I think Joshy put me on the right path. I had the same thought process. I'm going to go with Xavier McKinney.
Is incorrect.
Yeah.
Again, didn't have quite the respect coming in.
Sure.
Young player, really proved it this year. So we have had Rashawn Gary and Xavier McKinney incorrectly guessed.
As they said in Indiana Jones, you guessed poor.
Luckily, you don't
Eli
die.
Eli from Port Washington.
All right, Eli, who you got? Can you close out the top eight at eight?
Yeah, let's just try Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is incorrect.
Oh! Wow. Now we're stumped. Was this the tough one?
Sure. I guess this would be a tougher one. But again, it's a top 100 player, right? So it's not going to be an obscure name like Ryan from Iguanago who texted in John Jaha. Like, no, John Jaha or a player like that would not have made this list. Joe in Milwaukee, you're up next. Can you close out the top eight at eight?
The Gold Glover, Bryce Terang.
Bryce Terang, not on the list. Platinum Glove winner, not on the top 100 players in baseball. Best defensive player in baseball last year was not on his list.
So for the Brewers, is it going into this season?
The Brewers list just came out yesterday.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The Brewers list just came out yesterday.
I was going to say Woodruff.
Yeah.
If it was going into the previous year.
Next up is Nate and Aaron. Nate, can you close out our top eight at eight?
Would you guys please reset the list for me?
Okay, so across the spectrum for the Packers, Brewers, and Bucks, eight players made their respective top 100 lists in their sport. For the Packers, we have Jair Alexander and Jordan Love. For the Bucks, we have Dame and Giannis. For the Brewers, Jackson Churio, William Contreras, and Christian Yelich. So you just need to name the last one, Nate.
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs was already incorrectly guessed, so you get another one because that was already guessed, even though it was wrong.
I'm going to go out on a limb. How about Tucker Kraft?
Tucker Kraft is incorrect. Incorrect on Tucker Kraft.
All right, thanks.
Let's go to John in Milwaukee. John, you're up next. Can you close out our top eight at eight list?
So the Bucks are done.
Damon.
Damon Giannis have been. I'm not going to tell you what team it's from, but it's obviously from one of those three teams. I can't say that the Bucks are done or not.
Oh, man, this is a good one. Let's say Elton Jenkins.
Chewy incorrectly guessed Elton Jenkins. So you get another one.
Dumped John. Okay. He can call back.
All right, John. Josh, he was a little itchy on the trigger finger. That's okay.
I think I got it.
Okay.
I think I got it.
Jake in West Bend, you're up next. Can you close out the top 8 at 8?
Yeah, hey, guys. I think Packers, we've checked everybody. Brewers, I looked at the list last night, so I know they're done. I think with Bucks, it's either going to be Middleton or Lopez, just having to take a guess.
So I will say,
Middleton's been injured a lot.
Yep. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Lopez, Brooke Lopez.
Brooke Lopez was number 93 NBA list. That closes it out.
I was going to go with Kenny Clark.
Okay, yeah, because going into the year.
Yeah, he didn't have a good year. Yeah.
Sure.
Wow, Lopez still it.
Mm-hmm. Well, because he's looked at as one. I mean, he leads the league in blocks this year. He's looked at as one of the better defensive players in the league. So congratulations to Jake, who closes out the top 8. Again, it paid for him to pay attention to that list.
Good list. Solid. I'll give you a B. A B, Josh?
I'll take a B.
B. You can win with a B.
You know.
Yeah.
Just as long as I'm not counted on to be an A player.
No, but when you're expecting a C from you and you get a B, that's pretty damn good, Gabe.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Element of surprise.
Yeah.
It's all about setting those expectations. Right now, you can stop in and save at Festival Foods on Screamin' Sicilian Tavern Style Pizzas. They're just $5.99. Limited time only. Started yesterday, goes through April 8th at your local Festival Foods. If you haven't had the Screamin' Sicilian Tavern Style Pizza, it is all the flavor that you have come accustomed to with Screamin' Sicilian. The great sauce, plenty of cheese, delicious toppings, only on that thin cracker crust. You get that nice crispy crunch with those every slice and every bite with Screamin' Sicilian Tavern Style Pizzas. They're just $5.99 now through April 8th at your local Festival Foods. Check them out and find out what all the screaming is about.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. I just want to be clear.
No, that's not.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
Come on.
On 94.5 ESPN.
One of Wisconsin sports fans' favorite thing to do is play the woe is us card. Like, we're the only, you know, heartbroken fan bases that exist. Oh, man, we were just so good, we just couldn't get it done. And I feel like a broken record here, Chew. But again, looking at the list that we just did for top 8, heading into their respective past seasons, with baseball obviously just starting, and Chris Middleton was initially on the list for the NBA, but obviously no longer a member of the Bucks. I look at this list, and for the Bucks, they're the only one that I think has a chance at being a championship contender, and obviously they've been so beat up. They've had a lot of injuries this year, a Bobby Portis suspension, where right now they're the sixth seed in the NBA, and nobody's talking about a Bucks championship run right now. But if you have two players in the top 100 in the NFL, like, that's not good enough to be a championship team. For the Brewers, yeah, it's nice to have the three, and it's obviously a little bit closer than the Packers, but I think you still need, and if Freddie Peralta pitches the way he has the first couple of games, that's going to take care of itself, and he's going to be one of those top 100 players. But I just don't know if we have enough studs across all these teams to truly have championship expectations.
I'm not giving up on the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, I totally
trust their front office. Yes. Last year, we thought they were in great position.
Mm-hmm. They were.
You know, they run into the Mets and lose a tough one there, but you know, you get Woodruff pitching like he was.
Mm-hmm.
You do maybe something at the trade deadline, something that they don't do too often. I'm not writing them off. The Packers, like I said, they still have ping pong balls in there. Have to see what happens with the draft. Have to see if some of these positions that plateaued actually play up to their potential. I don't think the Bucks can win at all.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, they have the number 3 player, the number 23 player, and It would have been interesting to see how this all played out if you didn't get a Bobby Portis suspension, if you didn't have now Dame dealing with an injury.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so the case that I'm making is I think they were the closest heading into the respective season, and now we're not even talking about that because of the way the season has played out for them. But I don't think the Packers have enough star power right now. Like, they're going to have to have. It's not just, if this one guy, if Tucker Kraft gets better. No, it's, Tucker Kraft's got to get better. The wide receivers as a whole have to get better. The defensive line as a whole has to get better. Because the only thing they're doing at this point is adding through the draft. And yes, you can get a nice splash from that. We saw that at the linebacker position at Edgerrin Cooper last year. And it's nice to have Jordan Morgan as a guy you trust among that offensive line group. But I don't know, especially when I start taking a look at the other star power of other teams in the NFL, we're asking the Packers to take a pretty large leap.
I mean, yes, it can happen. I don't know if it would happen, but that, and the formula is simple. It's C players have to play like Bs, and Bs have to play like As, and As have to play like As.
Yeah.
In order to win it all. I just want to ask you about the Brewers, though.
Yeah.
Is it because we're scarred? Is it because every time we think they get to the postseason, we're negative instead of positive?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, having those three guys certainly in your lineup is going to help. And somebody who had said Bryce Terang, the defense is going to be fine. Right now, again, they've got, we'll see where they are. And I think it helps for the Brewers, the fact that they're in the division that they're in. The fact that they're in the NL Central instead of having to compete with the Dodgers. And I know the Braves are off to a slow start, but the way the Mets and Phillies can spend money in the East, like being in the NL Central is certainly going to help them. And I think they're going to have, I feel like right now that the Brewers are closer than the Packers. Like, this Packers team, Chew, it's not like your team.
No.
Everybody knew you guys were on the verge. Brett had already won an MVP. Reggie was already Reggie. You had Robert Brooks emerge in 1995. He damn near had 1,500 yards receiving. He was one of the best receivers in football. And yes, then he got hurt, but you had Free waiting in the wings. You had you. You had Keith Jackson, like Pro Bowl-type players, and obviously over on the defensive side. Like, sneakily, the defense might have been better. You had two Hall of Famers over on that side of the football with Reggie and LeRoy and veteran players like Eugene Robinson and Sean Jones. Like, that's not what this Packers team is. This would be closer to the team that came out of nowhere in 2010 to win it all because Rodgers wasn't quite Rodgers yet. Greg Jennings, I think, was pretty established as one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL. But Clay Matthews, kind of came out of nowhere in 2010. You know, he was a good player. Good player as a rookie. Established himself as that next player, that next level player in 2010. Nick Collins had already established himself. Mm-hmm. Like, there are a lot of Packers that need to take that huge next step, I think, to be true championship contenders. I'm with you. They've got ping pong balls in there. They can make a run. But I can't sit here and say, that's a championship caliber roster. I think the Brewers are close, and they can have some guys certainly step up and kind of fill that void. But it's less players that need to step up than the Packers.
Could it be 95, though? Could it be 95 when we go into San Francisco and no one's really given us a chance of winning, and then we go in there and just beat the tar out of them, and then go to Dallas where no one gives us an opportunity, where we go into the fourth quarter and it's a back-and-forth game, and then Brett throws a pick, and then it's over.
They could certainly be that team, because 1995, as good as Brett was in 94, like, he took a step. He took a huge step forward, obviously becoming the league MVP in 1995. And he had some established players then. And then, in 96, Ron did a good job of sprinkling in those veterans that you guys needed. But there were a number of players on that 95 team, yourself included, by the way, because you went to your first
Pro
Bowl.
And then Keith.
He came in.
Keith was 9 games in, so he's a little rusty. But we still had Free. Free was
a rookie. But in 95, Robert Brooks had like 1,500 yards or something.
Yeah. Like, Robert was solid.
Robert was one of the best receivers in football in 1995.
Yeah. They have the formula. Kraft makes the Pro Bowl. Musgrave, good supporting cast.
Yeah.
Maybe they draft a receiver in the first round. One of those other receivers emerges. And then Love's got to play out of his mind.
And the defensive line has to be not garbage.
Yeah, our defense was so much better.
Not even like sneakily.
Yeah,
I'm saying this to your face, so I don't want you to be disrespected by this. I think your guys' defense. Like, everybody talks about the offense, and understandably so.
Oh, the defense won it. Yeah,
but the defense.
No, totally agree.
Well, but the defense might have been the better part of that '96 team. That defense was so damn good.
Yeah, you watched the Super Bowl. I'm like, because offensively, yeah, we just had big plays.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Free, Andre.
Andre.
My two-point conversion.
It was huge.
Was large.
Huge.
Yeah, covered. Covered.
Yeah, just remember, but our good defense, teams win. Good
you
teams
watch
cover.
That game and you're like, oh my God. Our defense was.
Four interceptions. Reggie had three sacks.
Yeah. No, they were unbelievable. Yeah. Which makes it so much easier for us. They're like, we turn the ball over. Who cares? Defense will get it back. That's like the Carolina game when we're playing here. Brett throws a pick, I think, on the first drive to Sam Mills. They get to the one and score. We're like, okay, I guess we got to get going now. No, really. Because our defense was.
It was so good.
They were legit.
But you know what? Like, I think a lot of those things can happen, Chew. When we start talking about, well, all of these things have to happen in order for them to be a true championship contender. Like, all of those things happening, that's where it seems
but
unlikely.
I think where people get caught up is, scheme. The scheme's going to be different. Scheme helps.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's players.
Mm-hmm.
Players got to play. And if you don't have the players, I don't care how good the scheme is, not going to work. Now the league is different now because it's so offensively driven.
Yes.
Where the defense has kind of been discounted a little bit. Maybe over the last couple of years it's changed because Philly's D was pretty solid. But ultimately, you have to have a very good offense to win it all.
Yeah.
Which Philly had. They had both.
Oh, yeah.
They had both.
Yeah.
So.
Without a doubt. So that's just kind of where I sit right now with the Packers. I think they're a good team. I just don't see the greatness in them right now. And so many things have to happen in order for them to be that Drew. It just sucks that I'm sitting here feeling basically the same way I felt going into last year. I guess I had more optimism because there was still some more mystery behind the young guys that we were hoping were going to grow that did not this past year. Lucas Van Ness, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, guys like that.
Yeah.
And now you're counting on those guys to take a step forward again after not taking a step forward in 2024.
I just don't know how I feel right now. Even though with that extra year you lose for, it's going to be part of the season. Your best receiver?
Yeah.
Very good receiver?
He was their best receiver.
You haven't replaced him. Mecole Hardman is not replacing Christian
Correct.
Watson, so don't fool
Correct.
Yourself there. And then if they don't take a receiver early in the first round, second round pick, chances of him being a big competitor, he's probably just going to fit into what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, not going to be a huge difference maker. Can grow into that role, certainly.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. But, look, me and you, who are the Debbie Downers, typically, mm-hmm. of the show, I like to call us realists.
Sure.
You know? We hope we're wrong.
Yes.
That's like Jason. We hope. We don't think Goody's a bad guy.
No.
Goody's a good guy. Just philosophically, I don't agree on how he does it.
My biggest complaint about Goody, he's done a good job identifying and getting B and C players on this team. Like, good guys that you need.
Sure.
Like, not everybody can be an A player. Not everybody can be a star. They have, I think, a pretty good roster full of those support guys. They just need the stars to elevate everything else and make it make sense.
Yes.
And that's where I kind of get lost a little bit with this roster.
Because Detroit has stars.
Yeah.
Detroit has stars.
But again, like guys like Amon Ross St. Brown. He emerged.
Yes.
You know, it's not like he was drafted. Oh, this guy's going to be great. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson was obviously drafted and he was great right away and had the injury last year. But kind of Jared Goff, same thing. He emerges a little bit. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs was a first round pick, but they've got studs up and down that roster. They've got Pro Bowl, all pro type talents to go along with those B and C players.
Yeah.
Which makes them a scary team.
Yeah.
And the Packers need guys to emerge in order to approach that scary team as well. We've got a giveaway that we've got to get to right now, because ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is coming to Green Bay on April 23rd, which is the Wednesday before the draft, 20 days from now. Field Yates, Daniel Dott, Mike Clay, Liz Loza, and Stefania Bell are going to be doing a live show from the Tundra Trio. And that means ESPN Wisconsin wants to send you and a friend up to Green Bay to see this show happen live. So right now, caller number four, wins two tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Live at the Tundra Trio. See the show up close, meet all the hosts, get complimentary food and drinks, and Fantasy Focus Football Podcast merch. Caller number four right now. Caller four, 800-990-3776. Visit ESPNWisconsinContests.com for full details.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by YouTube, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The tournament gets back into action today, and you can participate on Wanna Parlay. I'll be looking at a little Duke to cover the spread and get it in for a sweep for the Milwaukee Brewers. Not a sweep. Brewers can't sweep, but a win for the Milwaukee Brewers. I downloaded the Wanna Parlay app on my phone, and it's so much fun. You can compete against me and other Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners to see who can combine a few picks and build the best parlay. It's just $2 for taking a shot at taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple to use, and there are new contests every single day. It's just $2 to enter, and you can always enter into the free-to-play games. Download the Wanna Parlay app, and if you decide to deposit, use code JGC for a 100% deposit match up to $250. That is code JGC. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
Only one Infinity exterior poll that we put up at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. Who is your 2025 NFL draft crush? You hope the Packers take at the 23rd overall pick. I said Nick Skourton. Skourton, is that how you say it, maybe?
I never know these guys' names until they actually get drafted. The Tetro McMillan, I've heard it pronounced like three different ways.
But just say Tet, right? Doesn't everybody just call him Tet?
He also likes to go by T-Mac, which feels like a little infringement.
How do you feel about it? Because we've seen that crossover, but like LaDainian Tomlinson became LT. Like that was already a nickname. Like Glenn Big Dog Robinson, Big Dog was already somebody else's nickname.
I think you have to be really good for it to start.
A-Rod.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because A-Rod was around before our A-Rod.
Well, I call him A-Fraud.
That would be Alex Rodriguez.
Yes.
You call A-Fraud.
Yeah.
I think it applies to both, honestly.
Once
Fraud is just a little more bigger, public.
One of them popped a test.
Congressional hearings, yeah. Things of that nature.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Twice.
God, I mean, whomst among us hasn't taken little PEDs on the side from time to time?
Fair.
Depends what you consider PEDs as well.
I don't know why I did it after I was done playing. Yeah. What the hell?
Usually you do that to extend the career, yeah, Chewy, not after you're done.
Oh, they extend.
Different type of PED. Chewy, we assigned Emeka Ebuka because he wants a wide receiver for the Packers, and Josh went with Shamar Stewart. So you can still hit us up on Twitter letting us know who your draft crush is. Joshy just did not feel like putting the accountability poll up, Chew. Does that feel that he is not accountable because you asked him to do that?
Well, look what I did. His reads got so much better because I got it on him a little bit.
Sure.
Right? I didn't coddle him. Kind of got on him, and he nailed it.
Sometimes you just need some firm coaching.
Why am I always doing Ashton's job?
I refuse to put an accountability poll up on behalf of the least accountable person on the show. Refuse to do it. And that's holding you accountable.
You can take tomorrow off just for that.
All right, man. Too much accountability going on our show. We'll see if Will and Tosh hold each other accountable coming up next.